I'm Paul A. Baalbek III. It's 5/15/2014. We're at Fake Bible Church, a Thursday night Bible study. And we're going to be teaching tonight on believers are complete in Christ, blessed with every spiritual blessing. Everyone here knows, but for those who are listening through the recordings, we're going to be teaching verse by verse through the book of Ephesians, and we jumped off at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 where it says we're blessed with, we're going to read that tonight, blessed with every spiritual blessing, and so that means we're complete in Christ. So I'm going to open up in prayer, and my wife's going to begin with the song, and we'll get right into the study. Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you, Lord, and we thank you for just blessing us all by grace. With every spiritual blessing, we lack nothing. The only thing that's we're going to get that's one thing more is a new body to match who we are inwardly, that new man that's complete. And it's all by your grace, Father. I pray your Holy Spirit, who indwells me, Lord, would just teach to me tonight, that Christ would express his truth, his life out of me, his love, the fruit of the Spirit, agape, and that we would speak the truth in love. I pray your Holy Spirit would illumine every mind, turn the light on. Help us to see what we have in your Son, Father, that we might rejoice, that it might cause us to want to just serve you, Lord, because of, just out of response to your grace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So my wife's going to come up and bless us with the song. Yeah, anytime I preach or I teach, I love it because Mary ministers right at my side.
All right, Mary.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of bliss, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of his love and the blessing that hallowed our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah, Mary's hours got changed, so she was able to come tonight.
Well, good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to get right into it. Let's go to, again, we're going to be studying on that believers, and I want to make sure I said believers, because, you know, everybody, you know, not everybody, but most people in the world would say, what? We're all children of God, right? We're all offsprings of God. We're all not children. You have to be, it's believers are, Christ died for everyone, but everyone's not saved. again, so that's universalism. We come to Christ by faith, and in order to be declared righteous, we went over, that's one of our spiritual blessings, right? Justification, being declared righteous. It's the moment we trust Christ died for our sins in our place. That moment, God declares us righteous, and it's all by grace. It's not you walk an aisle, you make a commitment, you do that. That's what Satan brings in, to blind people. So that's why I put here, believers are complete, and it's all in Christ. It's none apart from Christ. And we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. So go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And this is the study that we started out with. It's going to be a bit that will, probably a couple months at least, we're going to still be in this series. But I think if it took a couple years just to grasp it, to know it, because most believers, you know why they struggle with their walk? They don't know their completeness in Christ. They don't know their identity in Christ. They don't know they're completely forgiven. They're what? Steady trying to get forgiven over and over, and they're sin focused instead of Christ focused. So hopefully we'll be built up here, but I also pray, just like for the church services and Dave's ministry on adult Sunday school, that the people through the internet would maybe even just be traveling along and just kind of going through things, and they'll start getting a hold on that. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So let's break that down. One thing, what understanding what God's did, what should it cause us to do? Blessed, right? Blessed be God. It's a eulogy. It's saying how wonderful our God is. Because, what were we? It says, when we were dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our sinful nature, God made us alive. One moment we were spiritually dead, totally unrighteous to God, in Adam, and someone shared the gospel with us. It might have been a tract, that was clear on salvation. It might have been a person, me, I was watching TV, and that person shared with me you got to recognize you're a sinner and realize Christ died for your sins. The moment you do that, God declares us righteous and gives us spiritual life. His Spirit comes and indwells us, with us. And the moment you believe, you receive everything you'll ever get from God spiritually. Except, like I said, at the rapture, we're going to have a new body, a spiritual body. And I was listening to a paid today by a grace teacher. Actually, it was through my phone. And the future is wonderful, man. We have all these spiritual blessings now, but we're going to get spiritual bodies. And you think about that. That's one of the spiritual blessings. It says we're sealed until the day of redemption. That's when we get these new bodies. Our bodies are going to be like Christ. I mean, I was listening, and I was at first he was going into fallen man's hope. All you're going to do is get old. your teeth are going to... He went into Ecclesiastics, and where that's an outlook of fallen man's outlook on life, coming from a humanistic perspective. And it talks about how your teeth are going to rot, your eyesight's going to go, your ear is going to go, you're not going to be clear in thinking. And it was almost like depressing, because he went through all the verses and he's like, are you depressed now? But then he went into believers, because that's all unbelievers have. They have a future. I'm not going to go in there because it's not really in this lesson. But he said, while you're young, seek God. And I'm paraphrasing it. Before these things happen. And so what does an unbeliever have to look forward to? They might live it up now, right? Get out there and do or make money. But they're going to get old. They're going to get feeble. And they're going to die. That's in Adam, right? Believers are going to get a new body. And like I said, I'm not going to stand this, but it got me excited. Our bodies are going to be like Christ's body. Do you remember when he appeared to the, he came up to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, I believe, and they didn't recognize him. See, it wasn't until he allowed them to recognize him. See, a spirit, we're going to have a body like Christ, okay? And what happened later? He disappeared from their sight, right? Remember that? See, it's a body that's what this Bible teacher was talking about, four-dimensional, that can live in our three-dimensional here, but also in the dimension of heaven. Because, see, Satan had a... He thought he really had the battle won. If he just gets rid of the Messiah, right? The King of Israel. Because humans can't live in the heavenlies, so God's got no way to repossess the heavenlies that he usurped, and that memory usurped the earth too, because when Adam fell. And then how did he usurp the heavens? A 30 angels fell, right? But Satan, you know, we make an impact in the heavenlies. We remind Satan and all of his fallen angels that Satan thought he was so wise, so smart, that he got taken out of his own craftiness, right? And we're going to fill them positions. Now, remember when Christ appeared in when the apostles were in behind closed doors? And all of a sudden the door was locked, he appears. So then bodies can pass through things. So you can go from one dimension to the other. I mean, it's just exciting. And he went into verses how it's going to be so much of a powerful. And the last thing, and then I'll go back to this. That's just the future. We got this stuff here right now, but it's our guarantee. It's going to be like, how do you put it? Thought travel. You know, Christ, what? He dies, right? Then he ascends to the Father, right? And then he comes back here pretty quick. It's like through thought and like you're there. I mean, that's just, to me, fantastic. You know, and he went into a lot more things, but it's such a blessing. Even when we think about getting old and stuff, because believers, right, we're all sagging and bagging just like other people. And the older you get, like I need the aspirins tonight, aches and pains, right? But we have this glorious hope with these new resurrected bodies to match who we are inward. So when we look at that, it's a eulogy. We blessed be God, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, what's has mean? H-A-T-H. It's already happened, right? It's not, we are going to get more spiritual blessings from God. Because you hear that, right? There's teaching that's, I mentioned it before, that two H-E-I-R and then E-R-R-O-R, the two air. That we're all heirs of God. But only the ones who really perform are going to be joint heirs with Christ and rule in the heavenlies. That's not true. Well, I think we're actually going to go to that verse. But that attacks our completeness in Christ. That every believer, they're in Him and we're in union with Him and we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. And you know what it does? It makes it a performance. And then, what about the ones who are really doing it? Oh, them are the anointed ones, right? It's legalism and coming in the grace movement, so be aware of that. He's blessed us with how many spiritual blessings? Oh. So does any believer lack anything spiritually? No. That we might lack understanding in what we have. That's why I'm doing these studies and why I share with other believers. In heavenly places, in Christ. See, it's never apart. It's always in Christ, every blessing we have. So, if you notice, is that conditional or unconditional?
Unconditional.
Unconditional. We have it already, right? I want you to see the difference now. For Israel, it was different. Israel under law. We're going to go back because there are some people understand right division, pastors and Bible teachers, and they still without meaning to, they'll take it back under law, saying, oh, God, if you do enough bad things, God will take you out of this world or He'll punish you. You know, that was Israel. If they did these things, they got blessed. If they didn't, they got cursed. Let's go back, and we want to see the difference so we don't fall in the sometimes error. Deuteronomy 28. Now we see for us, we're already blessed. So why do we serve God? Out of gratitude, right? Back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, we're just going to glance through it, but just so you can see, you can look, you can study this on your own. See, God had a different has a different purpose with the nation Israel. That's its early people. Well, who are we? Citizens of heaven, right? Ambassadors from heaven on loan to planet Earth. And it shall come, in verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou now this is Moses speaking to Israel. You always got to say what? Who's speaking and what? Who are they speaking to or writing to? Right? So this is God giving Moses the law, dispensing it to Israel. It's in the dispensation law. If thou shalt hearken diligently, how much? Just try your best. Diligent unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do how many of His commandments?
All.
All. Remember James said, if you break the least one of these, you broke them all? See, people think the law helps them live sanctified. They're taught that. And what they would call Christian churches today, evangelical churches a lot. But the law was only given, it says in the, Paul says in the law is the knowledge of sin. All the law can do is point out sin. It can't change you. It can't cleanse the sin. Now, there was, for the nation Israel, there was a way God made for them through what? Animal sacrifices. But what happened? How many times did they have to do it? Over and over and to get forgiven over and over. Now, what's happened? Satan's so subtle. He's brought that in the dispensation of grace, if you want. See, it's biblical, over and over forgiveness. For us, we have forgiveness. What's it say? We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Remember we went exegeted that whole chapter of 1 John? That verse isn't even to a believer in their program. It was to an unbeliever. So, but Satan's very subtle. He gets people thinking he'll allow... Oh, all you got to do is believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection. Right? Like I said, Rome teaches that, Roman Catholicism. The Seventh-day Adventists, you know, Baptists, Pentecostals, whatever. You know, if it's under the name Christendom, right? But here's where Satan's so subtle. What's a counterfeit? It's so much like the real thing, right? And what does Satan want to do? Who's he want to be like? God. I'll be as God. So he's gonna give what sounds like the gospel and it sounds good to the flesh. But instead of realizing it's through Christ's death, his burial and resurrection, and I went over this last time, but that you're saved by grace through faith, not by works, right? It's a gift of God. Justification, that means being the moment you trust in Christ, God declares you righteous once for all. But what do you hear in a lot of Christendom? One thing, you got to walk an aisle, you got to say the sinner's prayer, you have to do some sacraments, you have to stop doing all you fill the blanks and what denomination or whatever, right? But and then Even if they get the gospel clear, and some do, that you just trust Christ died for your sins. But then what do they tell you? But then when you sin, you got to get forgiven. So you got a 1 John 1:9 that Satan's perverted, right? So you see how Satan, how subtle? So they don't understand justification, that God declared you by grace just for trusting Christ. And now He sees you completely justified. You don't got to clean yourself up over and over and over. That Christ did that. See, that completeness in Christ. Satan don't want people to know that. So, let's look at this again. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, not just try your best, which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. And that idea, overtake, is almost like a wolf tracking down a deer. You know, it's just going to come upon you. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the field. I want you to see something else. What kind of blessings did it say we're blessed with? All spiritual blessings. I want you to look at Israel's blessings. They'll have the majority, almost everything here, actually here, is physical. We'll see. For us, it's spiritual. Now, in the future, after the rapture and the kingdom comes in, that's when where what started at Pentecost with the pouring out of the Spirit, God's going to take back that up, and they're going to get spiritual life then. But I want you to see here. In verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. In verse 5, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. In verse 7, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee thee seven ways. Verse 8, blessings upon thee in thy storehouses again. In verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. Verse 12, the Lord, I'm just doing just to give you the idea, because we don't have time to exegete the whole thing. The Lord shall open thee His good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land. In verse 15, it shall come to pass. Now, what were all them, were them spiritual or physical? Yeah, God dealt with them with signs, outward signs. How does Paul say that we live? By faith, not by sight. God dealt with, you know, every one of their, what do you call it? Not holidays, I don't want to say. Like Passover and the, man, can't think of the word offhand. Their holy days, they all were a sign and a picture of something. God dealt with them with signs and wonders, okay? With us, He doesn't deal with us. You know, people are, the signs and wonders movement, they're trying to live in a dispensation that God's not doing anymore, or a program that God's not doing today. Now, here's where you'll even get the prosperity gospel. See, they'll use this and then they stop. Because, see, the rest won't draw in big crowds. Now, look at if they don't. In verse 15. See, this conditional. If you do, you'll be blessed. But now, listen, if you don't, you'll be cursed. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do, how many? All His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake you. In verse 16, in the field. In verse 17, thy store. In verse 18, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. And at the end of there, the flocks of thy sheep. Verse 21, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. Verse 22, the Lord shall smite thee with the consumption, with the fever, and with the inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and then blasting, and then later it says mildew. In verse 23, and thy heaven that's over thy head shall be brass. This is where, remember, was it, who was it who prayed for rain for Israel, or said, Elijah, that it wasn't going to rain? He knew the word. He was going just by what God said. Verse 25, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thy enemies. Verse 27, in the end, the scab and with the itch. Getting itchy here. And 28, madness and blindness. So do you get the idea? What were they? They were conditional. If you do these things, you'll get blessed. If not, you'll be cursed. And how much teaching today is based on that? Oh, if you do good, God's just going to bless you. If you got faith, God's just going to bless you. You know, if you don't, God's going to get you. Legalism. And legalism and false teaching. And so, with us, aren't you glad we're under grace? I don't want the scabs. That sounded pretty bad. You know, get the scab and the itch. My dad's such a... in the dispensation of grace, every believer, the moment they trust in Christ, they're blessed with every spiritual blessing and we're complete. We become heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Go to Romans 8:15-17. Romans chapter 8, verse 15-17. For ye have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear. And he's dealing, when he's referring here, is to law. But you have received the spirit of adoption. Remember we dealt with that last week? God has declared us full-grown children, full-grown sons, with all rights and privileges. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Look at that intimacy there we have. Abba means Papa. You know, Daddy. Papa. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Ain't you glad? Because when we mess up, you know, especially when you don't understand grace, you think, maybe I'm lost my salvation, you know, God's going to punish me, you know, all this. And the Spirit reminds us, and the more doctrine, sound doctrine we take in, the more we understand God's grace, that we learn to rightly divide the word, Satan can't fool us in the mirrors anymore. He can't take us captive. And it said, and if children, so children of God, see, God's only given us one identity. It's not Baptist, it's not Pentecostal, it's not Charismatic, it's not Lutheran, it's not Mid-Acts Dispensational. It's a child of God. Or you could, in other places, Paul calls us saints. Right? A member of the body of Christ. That's who we are. We're children of God. That's the only label God got on us. But what happens? People like to pick and choose, and so they build their denominations, right? And what's that do? It brings division. You ever meet somebody and you say, yeah, you're a Christian, they're a Christian. Oh, where do you go to church? See, I ask that myself. You know why? Not to judge them, but to know where they're coming from so I can know how can I share grace with them and, you know, a step at a time, you know. But it brings division, you know. Oh, I'm a Baptist, you know, or I'm a Episcopalian, you know, or whatever. But see, if we're in Christ, God gave one label, and that label is what? Child of God. Saint of the living God, a member of the body of Christ. And it said, and if children and heirs, heirs of God. See, we inherited everything, look at this, and joint heirs with Christ. And you see that word, heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ? That's a connecting word. It means we're heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. That means we inherit everything that Christ did. We inherited. By what? Because we're children. Because we received the adoption. And now, here's where that where they try and say that there's a difference of being an heir of God That's all believers. But joint heirs with Christ, where you rule in the heavenlies, that's only those who really are out there doing stuff. It's a legalism. But, and here's what they say. If so, that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified also. That idea here is not, you're a joint heir if you suffer. It's, do you ever see, you know, in Colossians where it says, God sees you holy, without blemish, perfect in his sight, if you continue in faith? That if there, it can mean in some places, it depends on context, if you do this. But here, and in Colossians, it's if means sense. That's why, like we were talking about earlier, going to the Greek, you actually can find out what that means. It's sense we suffer. That, and the idea, if you keep going, I'm not going to stay in this, but look in verse, that we might be glorified together, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. And in verse 22, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. And not only they, but we ourselves. So the idea of Paul saying, not you're going to be a joint heir with Christ if you suffer. The idea is we are suffering. We're in a fallen world. We have bodies that are dying from the day we're born. You know, you think you're getting better and better, but then you start hitting 30 and you find out it ain't getting better, you know. But we got the new bodies to look forward to. You need to listen to the tape from the beginning when it gets on the internet. I went into a little bit about our new bodies, what we're going to have, and man, it's just, I heard it taught earlier, and it was just wonderful. So, we see that we're joint heirs of God, and it's all by grace. You know, we can walk not in pride, because pride says I did some, right? Where it says we're saved by grace, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, we're saved by grace through faith, not by works, right? It's a gift to God. So we don't have pride for, look at me. I'm prideful. What a wonderful Christian I am. I met my mom. She was great at the doctrine she had, but she's a little lazy with studying. And she would get some things kind of confused, like Jehovah's Witnesses would knock at our door, you know. And she'd come there and they'd start, she'd go, oh, no. That's all right. We're a good Christian family. I mean, what's a good Christian family compared to, you know, bad Christian family? I'm just like, no, Mom, we're Christians because, not because we're good. You know, there should be goodness coming out of us because that's fruit of the Spirit, right? But it's all by grace, even what Christ does through us. Don't you love when God uses you to bless somebody? That's Christ doing it to us. So we can't even brag on that. What we can do is kind of go along for the ride. Sort of like being in a big old nice Cadillac and, you know, Christ will be driving and we're just in the front seat jamming, you know. Like today, I was singing at work. I was just like almost ready to have church by myself at work, you know. Just, I'm singing about all, thank you, Lord. It's so completely undeserved. And I'm thinking of all these spiritual blessings. Because I hope this. I hope you don't just come, whether it be on Sunday or Dave's Bible class or even in your own personal Bible study, don't just stop here. Take time to think about what we went over. So you start getting it in your own mind so the Holy Spirit can start illuminating it so you can really start getting a hold on it for yourself. I heard it put, can you give 15 minutes to God a day? See, now, and I thought, that's not much, really. All right, but then I thought about when I used to go to Grace Gospel and Jim Kirkwood. He used to say, when people said, I have trouble, you know, praying and stuff, and because people think what? What kind of prayers you got to do? Long, you know, got to fast because that's taught, you know. And I don't find Paul instructing us to fast. See, we go to Paul's epistles. I mean, if someone does, you know, you want to do it, fine. But it's they think their prayer's got to be long and drawn out, and if you pray in King James, Elizabethan English, God's got to really hear you. Use a little humor there. You know, some people prayer, you know, like those, you know, some people, they sound so beautiful when they pray, "Thou, God," you know, and God's not looking at the words we're using. He's looking at our hearts, you know. Some people might pray to impress people. You know, remember Christ talked about that? Praying on the street corner. You know, you got your reward, you know. But, so they think that, you know, you got to pray these long things. So Jim used to say, start sentence prayers. Just one sentence when you start getting in the car. Because this guy was having trouble with swearing too. And so he gave him the little advice. So it's just a sentence prayer. As soon as he gets in the car, he told him within, I don't know, a month or two, he goes, "You know what? I started in sentence prayers. They became paragraphs. That became pages. That became a book." He goes, "I got a great prayer life." So when this pastor sort of mentioned, we take 15 minutes a day, and he compared it to other things we do. How many people are on Facebook more than 15 minutes? Or read the papers? Some people read the funny papers for 15 minutes. What else do we do? TV, you know, sports. But you know, we give a lot of time. So just to take 15 minutes and dwell on a spiritual blessing, just think about it, or more than one, and pretty soon, you know what you're going to start doing? It's going to be more than 15 minutes. It's more and more. You know, like all through the day, I'm at work. And it bothers me when I got to focus on something and I can't, you know, I'm not talking to God, you know, because sometimes you have to concentrate, you know. But it becomes like just, you start rejoicing, you know. So I hope that we'll take what we're learning and then dwell on it, meditate it, this week, you know, and start applying things. So let's see. How are we qualified to be blessed so completely? Go to Colossians 1, verse 12. See, because people think, if I do this, or if I say I'm fasting, oh, God's going to qualify me for more, you know, or I'm tarrying for the Holy Spirit, I'm going to get more spiritual blessings from God. See, Satan's always like, you know, throwing some out there so you don't know your completeness in Christ. So Colossians 1, verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet," and that means qualified, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." So how are we qualified? According to that verse. Yep, we got it thinking. Thursday night Bible study. I'm going to read it again. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us qualified," or meet, it means qualified, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life."
We're children.
The Father qualified us. See, it's nothing we do. All we did was believe, and God qualified us. See, He forgave all of our sins through what? The blood. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, right? And the cross not only forgave us, it broke the power of sin. And we died with Christ, right? God, now what Christ did for us, Christ identified with us in His death. For what? Our sins? Now when we trust Him, God identifies us in Him, places us in Him. We're buried, right? We're dead, never to come alive again. Adam will never be, is not in us. That sinful nature is. but he also broke the power of sin. And we rose with Christ. And it says, if Christ only died, if he didn't rise in 1 Corinthians 15, what does it say? We're still in our sins. And Paul tells us it's through the resurrection we're justified. What does that show? God was satisfied. What, remember propitiation we dealt with? That's one of our spiritual blessings. God was satisfied. Now God can declare us righteous. He takes our sins, puts them in his account, and out of his perfect abundance of righteousness, he places into our account. And that's when God sees our account, he sees Christ's righteousness, clothed in Christ's righteousness. And so who did this? God. And what should that cause us to do according to that? The first two words. Be thankful to God, right? Remember Paul said in Ephesians 1:3? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. That's what it should be, our attitude. And because he did it all, because of what Christ did. So God's to be blessed and prayed for, praise for blessing us. Are our spiritual blessings outward or inward?
Inward.
They're spiritual. You can't feel them. When you got saved, did you feel anything? No, right? I didn't. I noticed there was a change within a short amount of time. I had all the new desires. But all our spiritual blessings are inward things. Justification, right? Being sealed with the Holy Spirit. Propitiation, redemption. All of our spiritual blessings are inward things. Yet, I will say, because a lot of grace teachers will teach that God only gives us spiritual blessings. Right? So, you're kind of carnal if you pray about maybe if you're sick or a family member or maybe you need a new car or things. But it also says, and they'll say, see, it's in the heavenlies. It says, God will meet all of our needs according to his riches in Christ in heavenly places. See, it didn't say only heavenly spiritual blessings, because in Corinthians it also talks about how God provides seed to the sower and bread for food. That God provides that. See, so we do pray about our physical things too. But we're not guaranteed. There's where people want to go into the kingdom program promises in the Old Testament, like get the blessings on the law, right, but not the cursings. We're not guaranteed physical things, but we are guaranteed, I believe, God will meet our needs. Sometimes what we think we need and what God shows us we need is two different things. Like, I couldn't understand, when I lost my business, I had it 10 years, right? Mary asked me, you miss having the business? I said, nope. A lot of headaches and aggravation, but I missed the check. And I remember thinking, the last night I was there, looking around, and tears coming down my eyes, and I'm like, God, I don't understand. But one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to praise you because you're worthy to be praised, but I just don't understand it. I do understand a little bit more now. I wasn't as focused on the Lord. You got other things on your mind and things, Mary knew me when, I had the business. Now I'm more focused on the Lord. And we went through a hard time, but I learned about I can do all things through Christ. See, so God always will do what's best for us. Not always what we want. I was praying for the business, Lord, provide, and he had other ideas. He's always going to do what's best. And where it says in Romans 8:28 that God's going to work all things for our good, read the verses after that, and it's our good is being conformed into the image of Christ. So whatever is going to, and what Paul said, that I might know him, right? And the power of his resurrection, to experience that now. Not just when we get to heaven, when we get new bodies, but now, him living, expressing himself through us in these bodies that are still prone to sin. They have the sin nature. And to learn to take the Word of God and applying it in our situations when we're tempted. You know, temptations are a lot of things. People think it's a filthy five, the dirty dozen, you know, the usual things that in a church they'll preach against. But it's attitudes. You know, do we have bad attitudes towards someone? Unloving, you know, are we impatient? You look at, in Philippians, the two ladies, Synche and some, Paul was writing, you know, they were dividing and stuff, you know. That's sinful, you know, or even when we're being anxious, you know, we're not trusting God, you know. But in that, God is teaching us to apply. He shows us things where we're not applying because He wants us to apply it. You know why? So people can see Christ in us expressed out of us. So maybe they'll listen when they see how loving we are. And it's really Christ in the Holy Spirit, right, in us, producing it. I like what Bob George says. We shouldn't look at Christians and say, how could a Christian do that? All you got to do is read Galatians or Romans chapter 7, what Paul said. And this was the Apostle Paul. What I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, you know. That's a man focused on himself. And what was the only answer to Paul's dilemma? Praise be to God through Jesus Christ, right? It's always Christ. He's always our answer. One of our friends on Facebook, I won't say her name, she's going through things and she said, I'm just ready to, I can't take much more of this. You know, and, she's sharing about grace and right division. And, you know, I call her Grace Warrior Princess, actually. Just to see that, you know, and out of love. And so I says, praying for you. And I says, then with the question mark, can you do all things through Christ? See, we got to remind each other, right? Because that's why we're learning here. Because when we go through the test, go through the trials of suffering, because we live in a fallen world. Yeah, Satan that's going to try and set up things, right? That we can apply it and we can stand. Because remember Paul said about all the armor to put on? See, we're in a war. He said, in doing all what? To stand. See, we stand in God's grace. And he said, stand what? You know what? And he mentions all the armor. Let's see, so where am I at? Oh, go to 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. Back up. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. See, so many believers today are living by sight. You know, I watch some Word in Faith or Prosperity Gospel guy on the TV, and he's saying, if there ain't any confirmations, signs, that's a dead church. That's not God working in it. Actually, Satan will give you signs, and he'll give you wonders, you know, to what? What's the Antichrist going to do? When he comes, signs and wonders, lying wonders, right? So just because you see signs and wonders, that ain't mean that it's God. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians 4, 17, 18. Now the Lord is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. Hallelujah. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory. You know what? I read the end of chapter 3, I'm sorry. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. But anyway, while I'm here, I made a mistake, but it's a good idea. You know how you're changed into the glory? One thing, it talks about when the veils, they're blinded, the veil of the law, when it's the law's preached. But when we, the veil's taken away, we realize we're not under law, Christ nailed it to the cross, what happens? Now we can behold Christ. And as we stay focused on Christ, what's it say? At the end, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we focus on the Lord and growing in grace, what happens? We're changed. We become more, actually it's just Christ, expresses herself more out of us. So now let's go to the verse I was talking about. Verse 17 in chapter 4. For our light affliction, see, this is an eternal perspective right here. Because what do we usually think? Oh, God, I'm going through so much. Why, God? I can't take it anymore. Right? I'm being dramatic, but that's how we get, eh? I hate myself when I whine. When I start whining, I'm like, enough. You know, that's just the flesh. But when you look at it eternally, everything we go through, because if God could just take us, right? But there's still people here that don't know Him, right? And also, God is using us to remind Satan while we're here and his cohorts that what a fool they all were. An open demonstration. That's why Satan hates, especially grace believers, and doesn't want right division known and the mystery. So when you think of this, we're going to be rewarded for everything we go through because God has left us here. Nothing goes unnoticed by God. You say, you know, I wonder, you know, does God even know, you know, I've been praying about some. Nothing goes unnoticed. Every suffering, every tribulation. And when you think of it, now Paul's thinking about forever in heaven, right? This is going to be all past. Think of the things 5 years ago, they're gone. The things when you were in grade school that seemed so big, right? Oh, I ain't as cool as the other ones. Of course, I was one of the cool ones because I learned. I wasn't when I came to Chicago. I came from Utah. I was a little square. But I learned real quick. But things that bother you back then. We get to heaven. Look at this. Here's eternal. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. This life, what's James say? It's like a vapor. Like, psh. Work it, see, it's working some for us. Work it for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hear that? Exceeding and eternal weight, light affliction. See, compared to what we're going to have? While we look not at the things which are seen. See, we're not focused on all of our problems and all the world's problems and things. I mean, you can't deny them, but you don't got to stay focused on them. But at the things which are not seen, what's that? All of our spiritual blessings, all of our promises from God. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Then go to, we're right here, 5:7, chapter 5, verse 7. Today, in the dispensation of grace, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's a spiritual believer. Carnal believers want to see signs and wonders. They want to see sights. That's how God dealt with Israel. We walk by faith. When we're going through things, God said He's going to work it for our good, right? For those who love the Lord or are called according to His purpose, God will work. That's walking by faith. And see, that's when you can have the peace and joy, right? Philippians 4, 4 through 8 actually. Be anxious for none. Careful. Full of care. Be anxious for none. But what should we do then? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving make our requests be made known to God. Did that say only spiritual? No. Everything. Pray about everything. And what happens? And the peace of God that passes all understanding. Don't got to go to a shrink. We have a counselor. It's called the Holy Spirit. And what? It protects your mind and your heart. See, sound doctrine will free you from a lot of things like depression. So we live by faith and not by sight. Now, Israel walked what? By sight, by signs, right? Remember what the Pharisees told Christ, give us a sign. That was a joke. You know how many people he healed and cast out demons? And see, it's not that the evidence for Christ isn't there. Like it to be intelligent, like, you know, people have all these arguments and stuff. The evidence is there. It's a moral thing. I don't want to. Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind's made up. for an unbeliever. And sometimes for believers, when you're sharing grace, the mystery, Paul's gospel, it's, you know, oh, this is, you know, I got to think now. You know, I don't want to say I'm wrong. Hey, why not say I'm wrong? Because I want to be right. You know what I mean? If I've been wrong, I've been wrong. You know, I had to change something, different views as you grow in the Word of God. I used to think that the 12 apostles and them kingdom apostles became part of the body of Christ. And early on, because I had read something that had said that, but as I studied, I said, no, they didn't. They had a kingdom hope. They're going to rule what? Sit on 12 thrones, ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel, right? So they didn't become part of the body of Christ. That's a different program. And actually, their resurrection, they'll have different bodies. They're going to have bodies that will be what? For this earth, right? We're going to have bodies that, again, like I had talked about earlier, that can adjust to the earth and in the heavenly realms. We're blessed. So, Satan tries to deceive believers into seeking more from God. Seeing they're going what? Tossed to and fro, right? By every wind of doctrine. And it's believers that really want, but they don't know who they are in Christ, what they have in Christ. So this movement says, hey, God's really moving here. And then this one's, you know, and it's just whoo, whoo, all kinds of winds. And Satan's just behind them. And why does Satan do that? To rob them of their understanding of their completeness in Christ. Go to Colossians. We're going to end here. Colossians 2, 8 through 10. Colossians chapter 2, 8 through 10. Okay. This is the Holy Spirit through Paul warning believers, beware, lest any man should spoil you. Spoil means lead away as prey to carry you off as spoil. In like a war? Like, you know, taking you as a slave? Beware lest any man spoil you through what? What's Satan using? Philosophy, human thinking, humanistic thinking. And what else? And vain deceit. Puffed up, bragging. It's deceptive, but it's empty. After what? The tradition of men. What is that? Religion. Right? Traditions handed down. Oh, my church goes back 2,000 years. So when, after 2,000 years, did error become truth? Right? Or lie become truth? If it was wrong then, it's still wrong. And the thing is, it just shows Satan's had done a pretty good job in that church or whatever. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. And that has the idea of bringing in the law and not after Christ. So them things are not after Christ. Or they don't conform, agree with, or harmonize with Christ. Look in here. See, this is in religion and philosophy. You'll hear in Gnosticism that you can get this higher knowledge, you know. That's what Paul battles a lot in Colossians. Look at this. And in verse 9, for in him, that's Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? All of them, right? Now, can you get a grasp on that? The whole Godhead, right? Now, that I can kind of grasp, because you know Christ was God the Son, and he said, I do none on my own. That's why people say, see, he wasn't really God. He didn't come to live as God. He could have stayed in heaven, right? But he said, I can do none on my own. As God he could, but he didn't come to live like that. He came to show how a man, when you offer your body as a living sacrifice, how he said, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And now, just like us, when we offer our bodies to God, for Christ, what happens? They see what God's like. Praise God. And so, Now, we can kind of see that in Christ. But then look at verse 10. And ye are complete in Him, which is ahead of all principality and power. And Paul used a word in Colossians. I didn't mark it down. Colossians. Anyway, it's a word about Christ, the fullness. Gnosticism had all these ways to reach God. It was, they called it the fullness, through angels and, you know, knowledge and that. And Paul, he just rips up Gnosticism. He said, in Christ is the fullness of Godhead. You know, what did it say? Jews sought light, right? Paul talked about, I believe, in Corinthians. Romans, Jews sought light. Greeks, knowledge. And Romans, power, right? Gentiles, power. But he said, in the face of Christ. See, in Christ is what? What every man's, if you're wanting light, it's Christ, right? Power, resurrection power, Christ. Knowledge. Let's say we have the mind of Christ and the Word of God, and we have the Holy Spirit teaching us His mind. Praise God. So, we see we're what? Complete in Christ. So don't let that true error thing, because it takes away your completeness in Christ. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So I'm just going to give you the last thing I have here. No verse. God's Word never states that believers were completed until this present dispensation. You know that? Israel won't be completed until their kingdom. And I got one more sentence by Jim Kirkwood. The bottom line is not the degree of difficulty, but the extent of supply. What we have in Christ, it's not what we're facing, right? Because that's what people build up, you know. But it's the extent of the supply. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So I'm going to close with prayer and thank y'all for...